Welcome. You're listening to the Think Like an Entrepreneur podcast, because it turns out there's no such thing as a struggling entrepreneur. There are only business owners still operating from an employee mindset. I'm your host, business coach, Catherine Morrison. Now let's dig in. Hello, hello, everybody. Are you guys ready for part two? It's funny. I am like in real time. I had posted on my Instagram letting you guys know about the upcoming episodes, and I asked which episode you guys were more excited for. I gave you, you know, the two titles, and I don't think I've ever gotten more votes more quickly, and you guys are super psyched for this episode. So let's talk about it. What happens before your client clicks to buy? So here's the deal. First of all, if this is your first time listening to the show, welcome. And you're going to want to pause and go back and listen to the last episode before you dive into this one, because this episode is really playing off of the foundation that was laid in last week's episode. So as a refresher for you guys on the episode last week, we covered the concept of data doubt and the trouble that new entrepreneurs get into when they begin looking at their data and making decisions when they aren't managing their minds. It creates making really bad decisions, and your brain tells you they make sense because it came from you, quote unquote, looking at your data. But really, it just came from a mismanaged brain that misinterpreted data and made like a whole story. It made two dots into a line and took you way off track for making money. I see so many people make crucial business mistakes from this place. And then we covered what vanity metrics are, why your brain might be drawn towards them, and how focusing on them can put you on a path of making major strategic errors in your business. So now today, I want to spend some time talking about the click. You know the one. It's the metric we're all waiting for. The click where your client drops in to buy. They book the sales call. They buy the program. The click. I want you to really think about this. A lot of your clients will just drop in to buy. They won't have liked anything. They won't have commented. So your first trace of them is their click to book a sales call with you or submit an application, whatever your process is. In the outside world, it looks like nothing is happening. You see zero evidence of anything because we actually have very little ways of measuring what's happening psychologically to your audience with every single post you make. All you see is that last click. We're going to talk about there are ways that you can see a lot more, but that kind of data and that level of knowing is not readily available for solopreneurs with smaller data sets. In the ads world, we would measure and call that last touch point when we were running ad campaigns. It's like last click attribution, which it was the measure of the last touch point a customer clicked on or engaged with before making their purchase. And that last touch point, we would then give 100% of the credit for the sale or conversion to. Which was always a little bananas to me, because I'm just like, we were finding ways to measure like, oh, if this person saw, you know, ad A, then followed by ad G, and then served ad J, right? Like that was the best user flow for them to convert. But again, it took much larger data sets to be able to see those kinds of patterns. And in my prior work, when I was working in the ad tech space, our company spent all day, every day, figuring out ways that we could figure out how to optimize the click happening. Now, the reason why platforms like Facebook and Instagram are so amazing for advertising is because they know everything about you. So their data sets are really good. You get to be there as a user for free, and then they get to track every single thing about you, and then they get to put you into buckets to receive ads that are just perfect for you. It's funny because I feel like some people have a big problem with that. I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is delightful. I love like the specially printed pajamas I'm getting served an ad for. My husband, he's bought the most random things, like some sort of protein cereal and shoes that had like, I don't even know, their whole thing was around you don't want comfy shoes. That was their whole ad angle. And it's been so fun to just talk with him about the kinds of ads he gets served and the kinds of ads I get served. And we personally are delighted by it. So at the company I worked at, we spent so much time developing technology that would help us track exactly what was happening before the click. So one of the things our researchers became aware of was how often people online were sharing products and services and information with each other just directly through private links, like by sending a friend a link on like via email or chat or text. And this work, I worked there in like, I don't even know, I think this was probably around 2014. So the market, I'm sure, has definitely changed since then. But at that time, 70% of sharing was actually done through private channels like that. We had this whole, we got like, patents. We had like a whole bunch of patents on it, but it was basically dark social was the way that we talked about it. And so the company I worked at developed technology that advertisers could implement on their web pages that allowed them to track all of that invisible sharing. Because if we know that John shared information on the new Honda Accord with Tim, and then we see Tim go to the page to see it, we're able to start tracking them. And to start tracking if Tim clicks the link again later on his mobile device. And then if Tim shares it with his wife, Susie. Now, of course, on our end at the ad tech company, we didn't know what their names were. We just had, you know, anonymous user IDs. But our data people could start to really map out all of the invisible stuff that was happening before the click. And we could find patterns, like that Tim is more likely to watch a long-form ad during his commute time, right? So let's say that Honda was an advertiser of ours. We would then see like, oh, like this user ID will be more likely to watch a long-form ad during this time. So we're going to serve him a great commercial on the Honda Accord during this time that we can tell that he's commuting. So we would optimize what kind of ads we served him when. Or like if we had a sports drink company as a client, right? We would increase our advertising in certain geographies based on when it got super hot because they were more likely to want a cool drink and it was the perfect time to be top of mind to the user. Now remember, this was my background. This is what I spent years leading teams in. And then I come into owning my own business. It's me and my computer and the social networks I have access to within there and no data to go off of. And the truth is, when you're a solopreneur just starting out, it doesn't even make sense for you to be in the world of going into ads yet. Because the first thing you need to nail is your messaging and to make sure it is organically converting. Because if you don't have a message that's organically converting, all that happens when you run paid traffic to it is that you set your money on fire. You take messaging that's not converting and you run paid traffic to it. So might as well just flush all of that money down the toilet. It's not super helpful and it's definitely not strategic for client and revenue generation. But I see it happen so often when new entrepreneurs, they're like desperate to not have to figure out how to make messaging convert and their brain just thinks that paid advertising is the answer. Please don't fall into that trap. So then it's you posting your content to social and having, I don't want to say zero tangible insight, but it's very little into what's happening in the minds of your audience. And what you want to become acutely aware of is what you think is happening. Because building a pipeline of clients throwing their money at you takes connection, takes the building of know, like, and trust. And it takes you demonstrating that you understand your client's problem better than they understand it themselves and why you are the perfect person to help them. But when you don't trust your ability to market and sell, when you don't trust that you're an expert and they should definitely hire you, and you start to doubt your posts, then it starts to chip away at the energy behind everything you're putting out. And that might manifest in how you start to unconsciously change your call to action from like maybe you go out and you're like, I can do anything, right? And you're making calls to action like, hey, I can definitely help you. Here's how, right? That's the way you present it. You can feel the energy of it in your voice. If you're on video, it will totally affect the copy that you choose to use when you're making a call to action and you're feeling confident. And then when you start to get into doubt, you start to make a sheepish like, let's say it's a video, you'll be like, hey, if you're interested, let me know, right? Super low energy, very unsure, right? And your certainty, right? Your conviction has to outweigh any of your clients' doubts in order for them to buy. Or let's say, this was me, if your pattern is that you feel shame about what's happening, you might start to get mad at your audience for not buying. And you might start having calls to action that are a little bit judgmental and biting, like, all right, if you're serious about changing your life, you can book a call here. Like a little bit of that energy, I see this online all the time. I know exactly what's happening in their brains. This is why mind management is so crucial. Because the sort of old school rule in marketing is that a buyer needs to be exposed to an offer on average 7 times before buying. But not all offers are created equally. And a lot of you guys are marketing from a lack of belief in yourselves, lack of belief in your offer, in your ability to succinctly and clearly communicate why what you're selling is of maximum benefit to the client. And so a lot of you guys are going into spin outs where you have periods where you just can't take it and you stop showing up at all, or you're forcing yourself to show up, but the energy of your offers is either tepid or unsure or leaned back or maybe even a little bit biting and judgy. And it doesn't matter if your audience is exposed to that offer 7 times or 700 times. When the energy of it is lukewarm, it's not activating to your audience. When the energy of it is biting and a little bit judgy, it won't even be conscious to your audience. Like, they won't be able to consciously identify that's what you're doing and that's why they're not buying. But it's just this felt sensation that the offer isn't inviting and they don't buy. So for me, as a woman who spent years working with cutting edge ad technology in San Francisco, I found myself as a new business owner without the tools I was used to of just being able to see all the invisible metrics that happened before the click to track along the client journey and sort of check the boxes to the sale. But what I then got to learn was that when I applied the best practices of branding, marketing, and selling, and I made sure my brain was managed in a way that projected an intentional energy in everything I put out into the marketplace, money creation became consistent and repeatable. I didn't need data. I would just keep looking at what my mind thought was happening in the minds of my audience. And thought by thought, belief by belief, I found every wonky thing that was standing between me and signing consistent clients and just showing up from a very clear, hell yes, you should definitely hire me kind of energy. Because the projections you have right now in your mind, all the things you think your audience is thinking, those are just your thoughts. For most of the people listening, your audience is likely between hundreds and thousands of people. You have no idea what they're all thinking about your last post. All you know is what you think about your last post and what you think they are thinking. And that has nothing to do with them. So sit down today and make a list of every single thing you think your audience is thinking. And notice if you think something like, they think it's annoying when I make offers. That's a sales block in you, and you're going to want to clear that. Notice if you think something like, they think it's too expensive and that's why they're not booking a call. I always love when clients have this one because oftentimes they don't even have their pricing listed on their site, and then their brain tells them it's about their pricing and that's why they're not getting sales calls. But the price isn't even on the site. That's a money block. And that would need to be cleared. And you can sit with yourself and then see how your nervousness about making offers or your nervousness about your pricing is literally affecting the way you write your posts. You can start to notice the way one of those thoughts comes up in your mind as you're making an Instagram story or maybe a Facebook Live or you're sharing something, right? And you'll notice when your voice wobbles a little bit when you go to make an offer on video. And when you start to clear out all of that and you are able to show up powerfully, you are able to show up in deep service, you are able to manage your own mind and emotions and not make your audience responsible, right, for their response or non-response, responsible for how you feel, when you're able to do that and not waver, you're unstoppable. This was one of the superpowers I developed super early on as an entrepreneur. In the very beginning, I didn't have a ton of people reaching out. I had maybe 1 or 2 sales calls per month, and I had a very high conversion rate on sales calls. So it's not like I needed a ton to hit my goals. And when I knew I was marketing and selling effectively and my energy was right, I didn't need constant feedback from my audience to feel good. To this day, I still don't get a ton of comments on my stuff. I didn't need data to believe they were coming. Most people that dropped in to buy, including clients who have bought like $20,000 coaching packages from me, most of them never liked or commented on anything. It all came down to that one click. But I made sure my mind never did what they do in advertising, which is attributing all of the credit to the last click. I made sure that I was grounded into the effectiveness of every single post I was putting out. I trusted that every single piece of content was making an impact on hundreds of beautiful souls across the world, now thousands, or going for tens of thousands and then millions. And I rested in that knowing. And I have scaled to multiple six-figure launches still using that strategy. So I highly recommend it because a lot of you guys are essentially doing last click attribution in your brains, right? So every single time you post, if you don't get a click, you're marking it as a fail, as if it didn't work, which just isn't demonstrably true, and it's making you feel terrible, and then it's creating all kinds of energetic leaks in the messaging that you're putting out. So tune into what you think is happening before the client clicks, and make sure you love what your brain is telling you. When you do that, you change the data that comes in. I promise you'll like it. It involves a lot of money. Because what happens as you grow your skill of being able to track how exactly what you're thinking is driving your behavior, then you're able to completely adjust your thinking in order to create the exact results you want. And when you're able to do that, you have the ability from a clear, managed brain to know exactly what your client is thinking, like every single little objection they have in their mind psychologically that's holding them back from the click. And when you are able to have that level of psychological rigor, like running a fine-tooth comb through every little objection you have in your mind and every single objection that the client has in their mind, you print money. This level of thinking and refinement brings clients to the sales calls faster. It helps you understand exactly how to help your client dissolve any objections they have on the sales call. And as you grow, you begin doing all of this in your marketing ahead of time. So people come ready to buy. And then I will work with you on whether you decide to double your price or cut out the sales calls entirely. The options get super fun. And listen, if this is rocking your world, make sure you're on the wait list for the next round of the mastermind. The next round will enroll in February of 2022, and it's as rigorous and strategic as a Harvard MBA, and as mystical and magical as an ancient mystery school. So if that sounds like your jam, your $10,000 months are waiting for you in the room. You can head to www.katherinemorsoncoaching.com/mastermind and get your name on the wait list. I'll see you there.